This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-215-0465. That's 800-215-0465.
The Buck Sexton Show.
We're joined now by our friend Guy Benson. He is the political editor at townhall.com and a Fox News contributor, also the author of End of Discussion. Guy, good to talk to you.
How's it going, Buck?
Yeah, it's good. It's going just fine, thank you. More stuff coming out about Hillary's emails, which I always find of interest, especially now because guys like you and me have been saying this for a long time. Everything that we've been saying is now proven true by the IG report. There's still more stuff that needs to come out. What I love, though, is some of the Clinton loyalists, the way they're trying to get around this or trying to make this go away. What are the lines of defense? Because I know you've been up against some of them recently on TV. What are the lines of defense that they're using to make this State Department Inspector General report that is absolutely as scathing as one can expect from a State Department? How are they defending this?
Well, they're engaging in misdirection and trying to move the goalposts and just also stating things that aren't true. One of the big ones is saying that, oh, well, Colin Powell did the same thing. And so this showed a systemic problem with the whole State Department system. The other thing that Hillary Clinton continues to say is that it was allowed and no one told her that it wasn't allowed. And perhaps the reason that no one told her that it wasn't allowed is because she never asked permission. And the IG report explicitly says if she had asked permission to set up this bootleg unsecure server, they would have denied her that permission because it was in fact not allowed. But as for the Colin Powell did it to excuse, that's also completely bunk because the rules that were solidified at the State Department about email and classified material really were finally put into place and honed during the Obama administration. So it was a new set of rules during the Obama administration that Hillary Clinton failed to adhere to. And Colin Powell, yes, he occasionally used his private email account for some public business. It was not secret public business. It was not classified public business. And there's a difference, and this is sort of one of the arguments that they keep making, assuming that we're all stupid. There's a difference between a private email account and a private email server through which you do all of your business. So Colin Powell had, like, let's say, whatever, an AOL account or a Gmail account. I don't know what it was. He did a lot of his emailing through the .gov when it came to the .gov account when it came to his official business. He occasionally did discuss official business through his private account. What he did not do, and what no one has done except for Hillary Clinton, is set up an entire server in their basement that lacks security against the rules through which every single email passed. That is unique to Hillary Clinton, and any attempt to draw comparisons between her conduct and anyone else's are completely disingenuous.
Right, and she had to know that. I refuse to believe for one second, I mean, I can say that about a lot of things that Clinton has said all along here, that she wasn't aware of the fact that setting up her own private server, I mean, I don't know anyone who has done that for any, like, I don't know anybody who's done that anywhere in government, this notion of setting up a private server.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's a few things here. Just let's talk about the smell test first, and then let's talk about known facts. On the smell test, if you are the top diplomat of the United States of America, right, if your job is to conduct diplomacy at the highest level, which involves a lot of extremely sensitive information, we now know that there were dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of emails that contained secret, top secret, and beyond top secret information in those emails. If you are pretending that you don't realize that having some private server set up by some low-level staffer in your basement that has extremely rudimentary encryption. And in fact, we know for 3 to 4 months it had absolutely no encryption whatsoever. Having a little server in your basement that's not secure is not remotely up to the standard that classified material protection requires. It's not even close. And the idea that she would be unaware of that or this would be ambiguous to her does not pass that smell test or the lab test. The other point, Buck, and this is really important, is if she said, oh, I didn't know. It was a mistake looking back. Well, as a matter of fact, she did know because she was warned in 2011 explicitly in an email that was sent to her, a memo that was sent to her by the State Department data security people that said, your situation, your little scenario, your email scheme that you've set up with your BlackBerry and your server, this is endangering, this puts national security secrets at risk. This should not continue. And she acknowledged that she received that email. She responded by saying, I get it. And she proceeded to not change her behavior at all for the remaining time at the State Department until 2013. So even if she wants to claim ignorance in the first place with the arrangement of the server to begin with, that's nonsense and is transparently silly. She's not a stupid woman. But even if you want to believe that and grant her that point, by 2011, she was explicitly told that her setup put national security information in danger, and she said, I get it, and then did nothing to change her behavior. I mean, that it's a smoking gun, and I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not here to tell you that she's going to get indicted. I have my doubts for all sorts of political reasons, but
yep,
under the Espionage Act, if you handle classified material in a grossly negligent manner, that is a crime. And I don't know how what I just described is not tantamount to gross negligence.
Everything you've said is I agree with and squares with things we've been discussing before on the program here. I would also just direct us towards the why behind all this, because I think that that tells you really all you need to know about how shady this is. Why go through this? If it was just about having a personal, Hillary could have had, you know, Hillary.Clinton, you know, 2020 or something at gmail.com. Why set up a private server? And as I've said time and time again, it's because only if you have control of the server do you have any hope of being able to keep things out. Once something is sent to a .gov email address, the government has it. So if people are communicating with you constantly, whether in or outside of government, and they're sending it to a .gov email address, someone sends you something that you really don't want to be there and you don't want the public to find out about, you delete it from your machine, they still have it. If you have the server and you get to erase things you don't like from the server, and then you get to just hand over email after 2 years after you're all done, that's all the public gets to see. There's no other explanation for why you would set up a server. There's no rationale by which it makes sense other than that. And I think it's clear in even some of the emails we've seen that this was all about FOIA and keeping the, quote, private. So, I mean, her motivations here are obvious and are obviously bad. I mean, I don't think there's really any question at this point.
No. I mean, you're right. And I think, again, it's her own words that betray her. If there were some innocent explanation for this, which there is not, she would have told us immediately. Instead, she said, oh, I set up a private server because I wanted to have the convenience of only using one mobile device, which has proven to be, A, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Because you can have multiple email addresses forwarded to one device. It just, from the beginning, was ludicrous. But she used multiple devices, cell phones and iPads, and she had a BlackBerry. So the excuse that she initially offered for this about the convenience of one mobile device is completely and utterly blown out of the water. It's dead, and it has been dead now for a number of months. So if she initially comes up with an explanation that is a transparent easily verifiable lie, you have to ask, okay, so what's the real reason? And you just laid it out. And by the way, when we on the Hillary skepticism end of the spectrum were pointing out that the only rational explanation was that she wanted complete and total control over her emails, and the only way she could exert that and wield that control was to have them all in-house, where she and her lawyers could go through and delete anything that they never wanted to see the light of day, which they did, by the way, 32,000 emails unilaterally deleted with no oversight or anything along those lines. Now, the FBI may have recovered a bunch of those, and we know for a fact that at least half a dozen of the emails that she deleted that were supposedly personal or private were related to her work, were related to official business pertaining to Libya and some other things. So, I mean, it's just sort of lie upon lie upon lie. But that's the only explanation that you just laid out. It's self-interest to thwart transparency efforts to protect her political career. And when we said that, Buck, we were called crazy. It's the vast right-wing conspiracy again. And lo and behold, in the IG report that came out last week, there's an email from Hillary Clinton confirming the conspiracy, saying when she was urged to get a .gov account, she said, no, we won't be able to keep the personal. So, and you have to put air quotes around personal, because we know that she did not adhere or abide by that at all. So the conspiracy that we were excoriated for advancing, totally plausibly, has been confirmed by her own words.
And now we're at a point, Guy, where we got this Rasmussen poll that says 50% of likely voters say that Hillary should still run, even if she is indicted. You know, people ask questions like, has a large portion of the country lost its mind? And I think they ask that question too often. But I'm actually starting to wonder a little bit. Like, we're going to have somebody who's under a possible federal felony indictment running for president, and according to this poll, people are okay with that if it's a Clinton? That seems to mark quite a downfall in American politics.
Well, I'd like to see more polling on that. Rasmussen has been kind of an outlier pollster in a lot of ways in recent years. But the fact that there would even be
10% is crazy. 5% is crazy.
Right. Any sort of significant plurality of Americans saying, you know, an indicted person, a felony, whether it's an indictment for a felony or whatever, an indicted person should continue running. I mean, I guess, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, yada, yada, yada. And that's all true legally. I think the problem that Democrats are facing on the political end of this analysis is they have had all of their eggs in this basket for more than a year. It was decided at the elite levels of the Democratic Party that Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee. And therefore, when you get it in your head that your team has this person and that's really the only option left on the table, especially when you're looking at the nominee of the other party and it's Donald Trump and the performance we saw from him today, you think, well, and I've been saying this for a long time. I say, well, what if she's indicted? And I say, well, first of all, I'm skeptical that she will be, because there's a lot of politics involved.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's almost a 0% chance she'll be indicted, but go ahead.
But if she is, I'd put it at like maybe 25% chance she gets indicted. Let's say it happens. I said, I think she would keep on running. They would say nothing, you know, much ado about nothing. They'd blame everyone but themselves. And she would definitely take some hits. She would struggle, I think, against any number of other candidates. It could have been a death knell for her. But in a competition with Donald Trump, you have these two deeply disliked, untrusted people. And I think that Hillary Clinton would stand a fairly reasonable chance under a federal indictment of winning. And therefore, the Marco Rubio joke from the debates, is sort of not that funny, because I think it's true, which is, you know, one of her first acts of president as president could be to, you know, pardon herself or give herself, you know, clemency in advance of anything that might happen down the line. That is not a completely preposterous proposition. Although, again, I think that her conduct was unbelievably reckless. She has lied about it consistently. Based on just a layperson's reading of the law, she seems to have definitely committed a crime in her grossly negligent, at least, handling of national security secrets. But again, this would require the FBI to put its neck out in the thick of an election year to recommend an indictment and then for President Obama's administration to follow through on that recommendation. And this is a hyper-political administration and Justice Department. So between those two dominoes that would have to fall, maybe the FBI would, you know, man up and do it. Whether Loretta Lynch would actually act on it, I strain to see that.
Yeah, well, that's where, I mean, you said 25% are. Maybe I'll give you 5. Maybe I'll up my almost 0 to 5%, but it's a really,
right.
I think it's a very... very low chance. Guy Benson is a political editor at townhall.com. You can read his latest there. Also, you should check out his book, End of Discussion. He's a Fox News contributor. Guy, thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-215-0465. That's 800-215-0465.